Before I start the sermon, I just want to say I feel so blessed to have the talent that we have in this church. And, you know, we are a church that claps. So I just want to clap to Joni and Sarah for such a beautiful song that they. I just thank you so much for being willing to come forward and use your gifts for God. You know, sometimes life has a way of changing directions. We all know that. You think you're headed in one direction. You got your life planned. Things are going to go this way and everything seems to be okay. And then you seem somehow through situations be forced to move in another direction. If you're like me, we scream at God. We say, what is this? I thought I was heading this direction. I thought this was your plan for my life. And we find out that that wasn't the plan at all. And you're yelling to God, you know, after a while, God, could you please clue me in? And I'm sure Joseph, the father of Jesus, felt the same way. And that when he was told that Mary was with child, it was a shock, a total shock, because he had never touched her. You can only imagine the change of direction going through his mind. That is, until an angel appeared and said, Joseph, it's going to be fine. Because this is a plan I have for your life. This is the direction in your life. You will be the guardian, the parent, legal parent of the Messiah, the Savior. So today, I'm going to do the third part of a four-part series on angelic announcements. And this one is about Joseph and the angelic appearance to him. I call this sermon, Joseph, Your Wife Will Bear the Savior, or Now What? Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Please turn to that in your Bible, or you can look at the handout. But you know what we do beforehand. I want you to turn to your neighbor, or even get up and greet your neighbor and wish them a very Merry Christmas and tell them God is with us today. I'm finally glad we all are getting with it. You know, I remember the first time I said that, everyone was, oh, greet who? It's like, hello. But I know, and you're such a friendly church, and I just praise God for that each and every day. But let's go to God's Word, and let's read what Matthew has to say about Joseph and the angelic appearance. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as a people of God, knowing that you are with us and asking you, Lord, to bless this message. Asking you, Lord, to use me to give forth the word in a concise, precise way, so that when we all leave here, including me, we walk out with a better knowledge of who you are and how you interacted with your people. Jesus, salvation, Christ the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. So we lift up this day to you, Lord, and we lift up this whole service. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I like Matthew because he's pretty simple. He starts this sermon, this passage out, explaining the situation here. It's like once upon a time. It really is, because it starts out, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Pretty cool. Once upon a time, and you know, you're ready now, this is a story, and it's a great story. Once upon a time, Jesus' mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph. Well, what did that mean at that time? Well, pledge was like an engagement. But in the Jewish culture, it was a legal commitment to somebody that you were going to be betrothed to. That legal commitment could last as long as 10 to 12 months. And it was official that they would still be called man and wife, although the marriage was never consummated. Kind of strange back then, because for 10 or 12 months, she lived with her family and he lived in his own house or his family. And the wedding wasn't consummated until he brought her home into his house. It was a legal contract that was almost unbreakable without terms. And it says here that before they came together, before Mary was brought home with Joseph, that Mary was found with child through the Holy Spirit. You can imagine what Joseph felt. The scriptures point out that Joseph was righteous. Just so you know the character of Joseph. Righteous in the Greek is dikaios. Dikaios. It means he was just. He was upright. He followed all of God's command. It just made sense that he was a chosen one to be the legal guardian of Jesus, because he was a good guy. And not only was he a good guy, he was a good guy in the eyes of God. Good guy in the eyes of God, knowing he never touched this woman and hearing that she was with child. You need to remember that the man who betrothed a maiden was a husband, and only an informal cancellation could not change that. Through this engagement, he couldn't call it quits. He can't say, oh, this isn't working out. Give me the ring back. I'm leaving. He couldn't do that. It was a legal contract. And a breach of faithfulness from either party would be looked at as adultery and punishable by death. Jewish law says that if you are betrothed and one of the two parties goes into an adulterous affair, that they would be stoned. And this is what was probably going through Joseph's mind. Being a good guy that Joseph was, and also you believe that he's a very compassionate man. We don't know how deep his love was for Mary. It just doesn't say. But it did say that he had a mind to take care of this quietly. Take care of it quietly. And all this had to pain him. Again, he's focused. He had a direction. This beautiful young lady is going to be his wife. You know, he's preparing his house. He's getting a dowry. He's getting things in order. Sees this beautiful young lady and he finds out she's with child and it's not him. He is not the father. Imagine the good guy, the righteous guy that has done everything right. He's crying out to God, what is this? What is this change of direction? What are you doing? You know, he's facing humiliation. He's facing embarrassment. He's feeling betrayed by this young lady. Most men would say, I'm going to take this to court. We're going to get Mary Stone and whoever did this to Mary Stone. Most men would do that. But no, he did not want to expose Mary to any part of public scandal. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about Mary and trying to do this in a quiet way. So Joseph intended to privately divorce Mary, which probably required a divorce decree that's witnessed by two or three people and be without a public trial. No public trial necessary. So that's why the verse says that he wanted to put away any public scandal which would affect both parties. Put away that scandal. Can you sense what Joseph is going through? Some of you guys, can you sense that? Somebody you love, somebody you're going to enter into marriage? Thank goodness there are angels. Because even though if Joseph was told that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, some of us guys would want an angel to tell us something different. Right, guys? Right, guys? And that's exactly what happened. I love these angels. They just appear out of nowhere and they put your mind at ease. And it says here, but after he had considered this, after he thought about the alternatives, what do I do now? Do I take the public court? Do I protect her? Okay, I'm going to do this. I'll divorce her. I'll do it quietly. After he's considered all that, an angel of the Lord appeared. How come God does that? He's a nick of time God, isn't he? Isn't he? It's like, okay, I got things decided. Oh, another direction. I got things all figured out. Oops, another direction. And so, lo and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Now, why would that be significant? Significant, son of David. Joseph, son of David. The angel was preparing him with the news that he was going to be the legal guardian of the Messiah. And the Messiah had to come from the line of David. So the angel knew all this stuff. He said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Same formula, isn't it? Don't be afraid. There will be a son. Okay, name him Jesus. Name him something. You think these angels would change, wouldn't you? But it's a great pattern, but it has a different meaning here. It wasn't, don't be afraid of me, the angel. It wasn't, don't be afraid of the situation and don't be in awe of me. It's, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. That was the don't be afraid. What did I tell you about consummating a marriage? What happens? A man takes this woman and takes her where? Home. And that's what the angel is saying. Don't be afraid to take Mary home and consummate your relationship. Okay? Not sexually, but consummate the relationship publicly by taking this woman into your home and saying, she is now my wife. Well, the Bible is pretty smart, isn't it? To lay this out for us. And she will give birth to a son. Did you hear that? A son? When the angel talked to Zechariah, he said, and you will give birth to your son. This isn't his physical son. This is a son. A son. So even every little word of the Bible means something. That was a son. And since he will be the legal guardian, he has the privilege and right to name this child. Just like Zechariah had the right to name John the Baptist John. But the angel made it very clear to Joseph, and it had to be very clear. We're guys, we don't handle this stuff very well. But it was very clear that she is going to be with child by the Holy Spirit. It was a God thing. It had nothing to do with him. It was a God thing. And you're going to give him the name Jesus. Jesus. So he would be the legal father and has a right to name the baby. And he is told to name the baby Jesus. And the name Jesus is significant. The name Jesus is a derivative of Jehoshua or Joshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. It means Jehovah, our salvation, or he will save. That's significant. Holy Spirit's going to come down and give you a baby. You're going to call him Jesus. And he's for the salvation of the world. He's for the salvation of the world. As Joshua delivered Israel into the promised land, Jesus was to deliver us and did deliver us from our sins and became our Savior. Jesus was a name. It's a precious name. The precious name of our salvation. Christ is also a precious name. Christ is a name that's called the Anointed One or the Messiah. God, Jesus Christ will be his son. God of all salvation. The Messiah, the anointed one to walk on earth. Then in verse 22-23, we see that all this was not new. Because this was all prophesied. We can't discount prophecy that happened 700 years before. We can't discount that. We know the world discounts it. We say, look, it says here. And they go, they got lucky. You had 700 years for it to happen. Right? But Matthew says this. He specifically pointed out that this birth was to fulfill prophecy. And he quoted Isaiah 7:14 by saying, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Matthew, or in the book of Matthew, Matthew says fulfilled prophecy at least 12 times. He keeps on pointing to us saying, this isn't new. You've been waiting for this. To Israel, it meant a lot because they had been waiting. They had been waiting. And they were under the thumb of Herod, the king of the Jews, and, you know, Pilate, the Roman governor. They were under, and also the high priest of the church. They were under the thumb of all those three powers. And they were waiting for Messiah. They're saying, you know, I have no sense of direction because everyone's telling me what to do. But the Messiah was coming. And they remembered that. I'm sure Joseph, when he heard that, since he was a righteous man and did everything that God had commanded him, I'm sure Joseph knew right away what was happening. I'm sure he's saying, oh my goodness, this was prophesied. Mary's a virgin. She's going to give forth the Messiah, and I'm going to be the legal guardian. And they will call him Emmanuel. What a great name. Because it's God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It just reinforces the fact that this Jesus was going to be fully God and fully man. Fully God as a Son of God. Son of God. And fully man as birthed through Mary. And he's going to have all the traits of personalities and characteristics of God. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know the nature of God as a walking person down here, look at Jesus. Jesus said to Philip in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You see Jesus, you know what God looks like. And seen here in the Greek is horao. It means to see with eyes, with a mind, and see experience. Jesus was sent here. Fully man, fully God, so we can experience him. How many here have always said, I wish God was right beside me that I can see and touch him? Huh? All of you. What happened? It absolutely happened. It happened. And he was a personal God. Now, if we've seen him... And he says, if you see me, you see the Father. And you see him as a personal God. And you see him healing the sick. You see him take care of the poor. You see him reach out for salvation of mankind. What do you think God wants for us? You see me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. And not only was God with them, he's with us each and every day. He is with us. Thank you, Pat. He's with us each and every day. Jesus, our salvation. Christ, our Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us each and every day. What do you think happened to Joseph now, huh? I am sure he was so welled up with joy. And excitement and fear of what was going to happen next. And it says, so when he woke up from his sleep, when he woke up, he did exactly what the angel told him. And that is, he took Mary home. Isn't that a beautiful story? He took Mary home. I can see him skipping over there saying, this is God. This is all God. This is not sin here. This is God. And I'm going to be the parent of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm going to do that. And I'm sure he ran to Mary's house and opened the door and said, Mary, I did it. I get it. And I love you. And we're going to do this. And he's going to give us a Christ child that's going to change the world. And why us? You know, why us? From a little town of Nazareth, which everybody despised. Pretty neat story, isn't it? Pretty neat story. This is when we all go, ah. Ready? But it's a true story. It's a marvelous story. It's a reason we celebrate Christmas. So how do we use this in our lives? This is a tough one to apply. How do we use this in our lives? Well, we know the situation. We know the situation. It's Christmas time. We know the situation. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. It is so ironic that people of the world can believe in ghosts. They can believe in UFOs. They can believe in Martians. They can believe in horoscopes. They can believe in fortune tellers. They can believe in psychics. But they can't believe the virgin birth. And we as Christians, we can't be too smug. We can believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. We can believe in the healing of people. We can believe in the raising of the dead of Lazarus. But it's this virgin thing that has us miffed. We don't accept the Bible by pieces. We accept all of it, don't we? And what's the difference of one miracle versus another miracle? A miracle is a miracle. But we feel a sense of awe. We understand the announcement now. We understand that the minute we come to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we sense that the Messiah had to be sinless, had to come from God, could not come from man, could not have the sin nature of Adam. We understand that. And that's a sacrifice that he had to make, because back then, there, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. We had to have blood, and we had to have a perfect sacrifice to give a perfect blood sacrifice to atone for all of our sins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't that make sense? And doesn't a virgin birth make sense? And doesn't the Holy Spirit just tell us that this was the way it had to be? And this story is not new. There are 300 prophecies about Christ. 300 prophecies about Christ that came true. And it goes back to the garden where God says to the serpent, he will put enmity between your seed and woman's seed, and he will bruise you on the head. Namely, Christ will deal a death blow to Satan's head at the cross. All right. But as much as Joseph had to step out in faith and obedience, we do too. We can't hide ourselves. We ought to be able to explain the virgin birth. It had to be. We had to have a Savior. We had to have atonement. We had to have a sacrifice. No part of man, Adam's sin nature, must touch this baby. Not going to be conceived of man inside that womb. So we need to step out. We need to understand the same gloriousness of the Messiah that Joseph understood. We need to run out and joy and embrace this Christmas holiday and take it home with us. They're not going to take it away from us out there. They're not going to do that. We can say Merry Christmas because we have that joy and that understanding that we were sent Jesus, our salvation. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, in Emmanuel, God with us. few minutes, I'm going to have Shane put this film clip on. I want you to meditate now and think about what I've told you and really take into your heart the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of a Messiah.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love your scripture as it reveals the once upon a time story of the birth of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can see it in human terms as we struggle with change of directions each and every day of our lives. And sometimes we pray that you forgive our unbelief. In all of our hearts, Lord, we thank you for sending us the Jesus, the salvation of all, the one that will take away our sins, the Messiah, the anointed one, one that will be with us forever and ever, forever and ever. Lord, this Christmas season, help us to run out there and bring people into our homes and bless them with the Christmas spirit. Help us to be able to explain to people Mary and the virgin birth and how it had to be in a logical, succinct manner. Use us, Lord, this Christmas season as we proclaim the birth of the man who would go to the cross to die for us, to take away these sins, to take them away as far as the east is from the west. And dear Lord, today, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here that has never heard this message, and that has never heard this message of this virgin birth, have never heard this message of God forgiving our sins, our past, today you need to consider whether you want to accept this Christ into your mind logically and into your heart spiritually. I just pray that if you're out there and you don't know Jesus, that today's the day of salvation, you can accept him. You turn away, you repent of your sins, and you run to him as fast as possible, and he will take you home, and he will take you into his house. It's fairly easy. You just say, "And God, I repent of my past. I repent of my sin. I want you as my personal Savior." And with every head bowed and every eye closed, for any of you that don't know Jesus, now's the time to accept him. You just repeat this small prayer. Dear Lord, I've had a messed up life. I repent of that. I want to come home and I just want to be with you. I want to accept you as my Savior. God with us each and every day. I need that in my life. That's a simple prayer. And again, with every eye closed and head bowed, if there's anybody here that have said that prayer for the first time, I just want you to raise your hand, put it up and put it down so I can pray for you. Thank you. Yes, just put it up and put it down. Thank you. Thank you so much. God is with you. It's the beginning of a new life. He has taken you home. Thank you. Thank you. With that, Lord, we just pray that you will continually bless this wonderful group of people, that you will put in our hearts the zeal to change lives and give people the message, the greatest message ever, that Christ is with us. And I pray this with all my heart and soul to you, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen.